Well, every living thing grows and matures. No great revelation there. That's not an impactful thing, I'm sure, but every living thing, every plant, every animal, every person grows and matures. Now, some grow more than they may want to grow. Some never mature as much as they may want to mature. But at some point, every living thing is going to begin at one place and move itself to another in some degree. And it's the same for every Christian as well. Christians grow and mature. When you become a Christian for the very first time, I love how Jesse Duplantis, the evangelist, says this. He said, man, he said, you're a baby Christian, you got your Pampers on, and you're just kind of running around doing all kinds of things because you just don't know any better. That means a lot to moms with kids in diapers, so I appreciate it. It's just for you. But Christians are the same way. I've heard it said that sometimes that when somebody becomes a Christian, especially later in life, and I've got my stepfather talks about this man that he knows down in South Carolina, big guy. God saved him radically out of a lot of nasty stuff. And he said, you know what? He said he became a Christian and he just never got over it. I like that. Just never got over it because, man, he runs around intense about the things of God. That's great. Matter of fact, we should probably more be like that, to be more intense and to be more committed and to be more dedicated about the things of God. But that's all a part of growing. It's all a part of maturing. And as we continue to look at the eagle this morning, particularly the baby eagle, there are such wonderful analogies, again, of this little animal that as it grows and comes to the place of the most important event of its young life, that when it learns to fly, it's so easy to see how that fits for each of us as Christians, as we desire to grow. Now, here's one thing that I want to just kind of absolve anybody of feeling bad about where they are. You never arrive. You never get there. Whoever the greatest Christian you could ever think of in all of history, whoever that may be, they never get there. We don't ever get to that place where we go, okay, I got it all. I know everything I need to know. I don't care if you've been a Christian since the time you could walk. You never get to that place where there is nothing that you cannot learn. So everything that we talk, that's why we talk about the Word constantly. That's why you go to church your entire life as a Christian, because there's always something more that God can teach you. There's always some way that I can improve in the things that I'm doing in my life. There's always something that I can bring into my life that's going to allow me to be able to step away from the things of the flesh and embrace more things of the Spirit. Always. Now, the baby eagle. Oh, before I do that, put my picture up. Now, I wanted you to know, last week I told you about the eagle that Katarina photographed. I want you, here's the eagle, look. Tell me that doesn't look like an eagle. Does that look like an eagle? It looks just like an eagle. You know what this is? That's a squirrel's nest right there, and that's a white plastic bag. But you tell me that doesn't look like an eagle. She lost her mind when she saw that the first time. And then we kind of looked at it, but so I want you to know. See, this is, she knew exactly what she was doing. There is not one person here that would not have looked at that and go, there's a bald eagle sitting in our tree. It's not. It's a squirrel's nest in a white bag. Okay, take that off there. Get that off. It's just, I don't want us to be confused. Thank you. But I wanted you to have proof that my wife knew what she was doing, that was okay. All right. That notwithstanding, all right, so we'll just kind of step away. When an eagle is born, of course, eagles lay eggs. And when an eagle lays an egg, there's usually one or two, sometimes three, but very, very rarely more than that. Only because, as in much of the animal kingdom, when the first egg hatches, that first eaglet will usually try to get rid of the rest of that are there. Fratricide, it's called. It's killing your brothers and sisters. Not a good thing. But that's what they'll do in order to make sure that they get most of the food. So very often in an eagle's nest, you might only see one, sometimes two. The eagle nest itself is an amazing piece of architectural design. Now, as I've told you before, eagles are territorial, which means that they find a particular area. And I'm not sure how far that goes. I guess it depends on how big the bird is, but it will make sure that there are no other predators in that area bird predators, other eagles, hawks, those types of things. It'll drive everything else away, and that territory belongs to them to hunt. That means then that they will often go back to the same nest that they built originally, year after year after year after year. Now, some of these nests are amazing. They have been found at as high as 10,000 feet, the eagle nest. Now, there are some species of eagle that actually build their nests on the ground because that's all that they have available to them. But by and large, the two eagles that we have in this country, the bald eagle and the golden eagle, build their nests up high. And in some of those places, especially for the bald eagle in the mountainous regions and all of that, 10,000 feet. Since they come back and continue to build on this same nest, there have been nests found that has been as big as 10 feet in circumference, weighing as much as 4,000 pounds. 2 tons of nest. So they got a lot of room in there, a lot of room to do different things and to move around and all of that. The problem is, though, maybe I shouldn't say the problem. The thing you need to understand about an eagle is this. No adult eagle ever stays in the nest. They don't stay there. The nest is big. There's plenty of room. But at some point, the eagle, when it reaches a certain age, mom and dad kick them out of the nest because they don't belong there. Now, that's true also for Christians in many ways, because there are a lot of Christians that stay in their nest too long. Sometimes that nest is their church. They'll come to church, and you know what? Just, I like my little place right here that I have. This is my nest. I am a greeter. That's all I'll ever do. Why? Because that's my nest. I'm comfortable. I like saying hi to people. What do you mean come up and pray for somebody? That's not what I do. I'm a greeter. Well, that becomes a nest that we need to make sure that as Christians, we never allow ourselves to get stuck and locked in the same place. And you've heard me talk about this many times with many things. But for us in this place, what is it that God's calling you to do? If you get your mind and your eyes set on one particular thing, you're going to get stuck in a nest that you should not be in. Big nest, huge nest, lots of things to do. But you don't want to get stuck in that same place. A lot of people, their nest is their place of woundedness that they've walked out of. God may have done a healing. God may have walked you through some things, but you're never really willing to let go of that completely because that's your place of comfort. Does that make sense? You can have a wounded place as a place of comfort because it's all that you know. It even becomes your identity sometimes. We've got to be so careful about not getting stuck because this is the thing about learning to love and to understand who God is that it's always about growth. It's always about maturing, about moving to the next level. So the eggs are hatched, or they're not hatched yet, they're born. Can you, eggs get born, is that right? Laid. Eggs get laid. Okay, I knew that word was in there somewhere. I was going to get around to it eventually. So the eggs get laid. So we got an egg in the nest now. And the egg begins after several weeks of times of incubation. And one of the things that's really neat about the eagle is that both the mom and the dad take turns incubating the egg. It's mostly the mom, because she'll sit there. Mom's bigger than the dad. The female eagle is larger because she's the one that has to take care. The male eagle is a little bit smaller for speed and for attacking game and all those kinds of things that they bring back to the nest. But mom and dad take turns. So they sit on the egg. And after a period of several weeks, it will begin to hatch. Now, watch this. The eaglet has to break its way, obviously, out of the shell. And scientists have found on many of these little eaglets on their beak a little tooth-like protrusion that will eventually go away. But it's present when they're coming out of the egg because it's almost like a tool that they use to hit that shell to be able to get out of the egg. Now, scientists have, when they've gathered some of these eggs from time to time, they've taken the time to sort of help the eagle when it's trying to get out, and it'll peel some of the shell back. Scientists have found that every time that they don't allow the chick to do that, it never reaches adulthood. It never lives. It never survives because there are two very important things that that chick is learning as it's breaking its way out of the shell. And there are two things that we also need to have in our lives. When a chick is breaking its way out of the shell, it's building endurance. It's building stamina. Because you got to remember, this thing's been laying in, I don't know if I can do an eggshell hold. If I can do it, it's just, how would I don't even know how I would position myself to do that. But you got to remember, it's laying inside of that egg and it's not moving. So there's no strength, there's no stamina. As it's breaking its way out of that shell, doing whatever it needs to do, it's actually building that up in itself. But the second thing that it's also doing is it's understanding perseverance. Now, that's our word. The eagle doesn't think, yes, I'm building perseverance as I'm breaking out of this shell. It doesn't know any of those things. But it is the same concept that when something has come against it with that shell, it's learning to break through it. How many of us in our lives, the second we come up against something that's difficult, we back away? We go, okay, well, that's a little too hard. And we actually disguise that by our Christianese. We disguise it by our church knowledge, those of us that have grown up in church. Because if something gets tough, we go, well, you know, hey, this is really hard, so God obviously must not be in it. No, not at all. Think about the great men and great women of the Bible. How many of them had easy times going through the things that they needed to do? Every one of the 12 disciples, with the exception of John, died violent deaths. Every single one of them. Every single one of them had to endure perseverance and persecution through the course of their ministry. If they had stopped because it had gotten difficult, the gospel never would have spread the way that it had. God allows for things to come into our lives that are many times difficult in order to help us to learn how to persevere and to break through. Let me give you some scriptures with this. James 1, great scripture, the second to the fourth verse, it says this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, I don't know about you, but the first word into my head when I've got a trial is not joy. To be honest with you, I'm not excited when something lousy is going on, when it's difficult. But what I have come to the place of recognizing, and this is what I want for each of us, because it is a sign that we're growing. What is it that children do when they don't get what they want right away? Rah! They get crazy. Christians do the same thing. We just don't make quite as much noise, but we can do the same thing. When something doesn't happen the way that I want it to, I pout. I get surly. I change. I don't want anything to do with anybody. Get away from me. It's not. We may not even say those things, but you know what I'm talking about. As we get older and things don't happen the way that we want them to, hopefully we're not screeching and hollering and crying about it. We're learning to understand that, you know, things aren't always going to go exactly the way that I want it to, but what do I need to do now? That's a mark of maturity. That's a mark of growing. And so Paul says, or rather the writer of James says, consider it pure joy. He says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Those of you that know this verse, perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be, here's the word, mature and complete, not lacking anything. My friends, if we can come to the place of understanding that perseverance in the things of God are going to help us in our lives, we're going to understand that when the barriers come up, I can break through those barriers. When things come against me, I'm still going to maintain what it is that God's told me to do because I'm not going to let those things shake me. You go, okay, well, Pastor Dave, maybe God's telling me not to do something. Well, how do you know the difference of that? By praying, by being in prayer, by reading God's word, by seeking counsel sometimes from people that might have some wisdom about things. See, once again, Satan always wants us to get off by ourselves. He always wants us to make decisions and do things. And again, you think, and I've said this to you many times, whenever you think about a tough time in your life, were you by yourself or did you have a lot of good people around you? I guarantee you're probably by yourself many times. I know in my own life that was true. Decisions that I made that took me in places I should not have been, I didn't want anybody else with me on that because I wanted what I wanted. Perseverance helps us to be able to understand that when things come up against, I can still press through. Romans 5, 3-5 says this: we also glory in our sufferings. Now, let me tell you about that word sufferings. Because in the original language, the word is thlipsis. And here's what that word actually means. It means pressure. Pressure. Anybody ever in here ever deal anything with pressure in your life? You understand what that is? Probably a pretty good idea what pressure is. So if I take that word and replace it and it says, we also glory in our times of pressure because we know that the pressuring produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Hope does not put us to shame or does not leave us downhearted because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. My friends, learning to push through, learning to persevere is going to be something that's going to allow each of us to be able to grow and to mature. Can I encourage you that when you come up against something, that your first response should not be to back away? Don't back away. But instead say, God, what is it I'm looking at here? What is it I'm dealing with here? What is it that I need to do? Spend more time with him. So the chick begins to break out of the egg. And once it gets out, now it begins to develop, begins to grow. These things grow actually pretty quick. As a matter of fact, within 9 to 10 weeks, the adult chick is almost about the size that it's going to be, growing its feathers, getting everything. It goes through the whole pin feathers, you know, the little downy stuff that feels so cute, and then they bite you, and then it's a mess. But then they grow their own feathers. And once they do that, there is something very natural about them that begins to take over. Because an eagle is not going to survive unless it learns how to what? Learns how to fly. It's got to fly. But here's something, and I think this may be the very foundational crux of what it is that God wants us to understand this morning. You cannot fly until you learn how to stand. You can't fly till you learn how to stand. That eagle does not roll around in the nest and all of a sudden jump out and start flying. That was a great eagle, wasn't it, rolling around in the nest? I felt kind of good the whole time I was doing that. The eagle has to go through the stage. It's like children. You know, you hear you can't run before you learn to walk. Well, actually, there's three other stages that need to take place before you even get to walking. You got to learn to creep, you got to crawl, and then you got to stand before you even get to the walking part. Where's Grayson? He's moving, isn't he? He's standing with some teetering, right? He's got teetering going on there. Okay. You got to stand first. And the Bible gives us three great examples that I just want to give to you very quickly. And you'll see, I think, what I mean by this. In 1 Samuel 17, we have the story of David. David was a mighty man of God. He was born to be king of Israel. David did a lot of things. There was a lot of talents that he had. But he was created to be king. But before he even got to that point, God had a lesson for him to learn that he was going to have to stand before he was able to fly. David was a shepherd, as we know. And you know the story of this. Samuel comes to Jesse, his dad, and says, Jess, one of your kids is going to be king of Israel. Jess goes, my kids? That's not actually in there, but I'm just kind of thinking this is what I would say. One of my kids? He said, yeah. He said, bring me your boys. So Jesse began to parade all of his sons in front of the prophet Samuel. Here comes the first one, because always you start with the oldest. In that culture, everything was built around the oldest boy, oldest male child. How many firstborn men do we have in here? Firstborn? Okay, anointed, 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 anointed. Okay, good. And anointed. Thank you. Doesn't count if you're the only man. You got to be the firstborn man. Okay. But in that culture, everything was built around the firstborn male child. And so Jesse begins to parade his kids by. All of them come by, and Sam goes, no, 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 no. He said, that's it? He said, well, I got one more. He said, my youngest, David's in the field tending the sheep. He said, go get them. He brings them. Of course, he gets anointed to be the king. He still, though, maintains his responsibilities as a shepherd because God had some things he needed to teach him. He needed to learn to stand. The Bible tells us that in two separate occasions, and maybe even more than this, but David said two times he killed a wild animal that was coming to attack his sheep. Remember you reading about this? Killed a lion, killed a bear, probably with his sling. Now, that's tough, because obviously if that had not happened, then his sheep would have been eaten and taken away, some of them. But it wasn't a catastrophic event. This is the thing about God. When he allows us to stand with things, it only involves the things that we can handle at that time. Can you take some comfort in that this morning? That God's not going to take you to the deep end of the pool and go, whoosh, there you go. God takes us through the times to help us to learn how to do that. That's what he was doing with David. Because David, at some point later, ended up going to visit his brothers who were at a war with the Philistines. They weren't actually fighting. What's the Bible say? They were encamped on both sides of a valley. And this great big huge dude comes out every single day by the name of Goliath and starts trash talking the Israelites. And says, listen, come on, you send your best guy out here, we'll go at it. If I win, you serve us. If you win, we'll serve you. Much bigger stakes. Here comes David. David had learned how to stand with the lion and the bear first before God brought him to have to fly against this giant. Because the stakes were much greater. If he had lost that battle to Goliath, the entire nation of Israel would have been subject to the Philistines. God was preparing him for what he was going to do. Moses, in Exodus, the third chapter, Moses has left royalty. Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh. You know the story. Charlton Heston. go up in the house of Pharaoh, kills a man, and gets spotted doing it. So he has to flee. Moses spent how many years? Does anybody know? How many years did he spend it with the Midianites shepherding? Do you know? 40 years in preparation. How many of us would be patient enough to wait 40 years for something that God was going to do with us? Whew. You know, Abraham, who we think is the greatest patriarch probably in the Old Testament, one of the greatest, says God spoke to Abraham. You know the story of that with Isaac and going to the land. You know how long it was between times that God spoke to Abraham? 14 years. Years and years and years that Abraham didn't hear anything, but he persevered. He was waiting on the things of God. So Moses, 40 years, is tending sheep. Kick the sheep over there, tend the sheep. Why was God letting him do that? Why was he tending those sheep all of that time? What was he standing, learning to do before he was going to fly? He's going to lead a nation out of bondage. Moses wouldn't have been ready to do that if he hadn't had that time learning what it meant to work with other people, learning what it was to do the duty of the things. All of those things God was using to prepare Moses to stand first before he flew. One more. Genesis 39, my favorite guy, Joseph. Joseph, of course, is sold into slavery by his brothers. He goes to Potiphar, who was a person within Pharaoh's court, a person of some responsibility. Potiphar buys Joseph, brings him to his house, and recognizes this is a man with some gifts, and more than that, with the glory of God over him. The Bible says that Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his entire household. Everything that he needed to have done, Joseph took care of it. He was so good, so good-looking, Potiphar's wife is going, Joe, come in here with me. Of course, Joseph said, no, I'm not going to do that. I would never defile my master, and more than that, defile my God. But she accuses him of trying to rape her, and so he's thrown into prison. Joseph is so anointed and has so much of the presence of God that the prison guards put him in charge of the entire prison. This was times of standing for Joseph, in charge of Potiphar's house, in charge of the prison. Why? What was the flight that God was going to ask him to take? He was going to be the number two man in all of Egypt. God was preparing him for what he was going to do. My friends, God is preparing each and every one of us in this room for what he wants us to do. Every single one of us are called of God to serve him in some way. You say, well, Pastor Dave, I don't want to be a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor. I wasn't sure I wanted to be a pastor. So we'll just keep that between us. But it doesn't matter what we want. If our lives and our hearts are subjected to what he wants for us, he'll prepare the way. He'll have you learn to stand before it is that you have to go fly. And so many times I think we're hesitant and resistant to want to just say, God, whatever you want to do, because we think he's going to send us to some tribe in Africa. If he is, he'll prepare you. He'll put it in your heart. He'll give you a love for what it is that he wants you to do if you're willing just to say, Father, what do you want from me? That's a part of growing. That's a part of maturing in the Lord. So the eagle has to learn to stand before it can actually fly. And one other thing that the mother does especially, and the dad, for this baby eagle, because not only is it the part of them that is innate, natural part of them, because the eagle will begin to stand and move around, it'll begin to hop around the nest, it'll even begin as its wings begin to develop, it'll sort of move them out and maybe even catch a little bit of air and float in the nest a little bit, but never leaving the nest, because that's the safe place. But as the baby eagle gets closer and closer to the time of learning to fly, when the mother and father will bring food back, instead of landing right into the nest with the food, it'll come to the nest and it'll begin to hover over the nest. And what it's doing is allowing that young eagle to watch and to see the function of the wings and what it's supposed to do. And it'll do that time after time, showing the baby eagle what it's supposed to do. God will do the exact same thing for us if we ask him. He'll show us what it is. He'll teach us what we need to know. And the enemy wants nothing more than for us to be able to think and to say, you know what, I can't do those things. I've never done that before. Katarina is a perfect example of this. She had a job a number of years ago that she entered into that was going to require her to have knowledge that she just did not have. She didn't have. She didn't know what she was supposed to do. As she got more and more into the job, it just became evident that she wasn't walking in with history of how to do this job. And so every morning when she would go to work, she would say, God, help me to be able to do what I need to do. You teach me what I need to know. And through the course of a fairly short amount of time, she was able to do things that she has said many times, I didn't know how to do that. I had no idea. But God was showing me. God was teaching me. He'll be faithful to whatever it is that He calls us to do. He'll prepare you for that. One last thing and I'm done. Now we get to the flight. This is the moment that it's been building up to. Baby Eagle's been watching mom floating up there with the wings kind of hovering, seeing how the wings work. He's been kind of taking some chances now and again, maybe jump a little bit and floats in the air, but never too close to the edge. Well, when it comes time for the baby's first flight, the mother eagle once again plays an important role in this because the mother eagle will begin to nudge or gently push the eaglet closer and closer to the edge of the nest. And one of the things that the eagle does not understand but is still true is this. The eaglet does have a choice, albeit a fairly minimal one. He can either go willingly or he can be thrown out of the nest. Because the mom will boot the eaglet out of the nest in order to get it to make its first flight. And you know, God does the same thing with us many times. We do have choices. God will give us a choice about things. And we can either do things willingly that He wants us to do, or we can do it by somewhat of a heavy hand. You say, well, what does that mean? I think you do know what that means. I'm sure most of you know that there have been times when things have occurred that you just thought, you know what, man, I really would have liked that to have been a different way. And as you look back, you think, well, if I had done this or I had done that, if I'd made different choices, things would have been a little bit different in my life. So many times, my friends, that's the hand of God directing us. And you have choices in these things. We always have choices. The question is, what are you going to choose? And sometimes we get our minds and our hearts fixed on the path of least resistance. So many times. This is the easier way, so I'll go this way. And in reality, the perseverance that we needed to push through something difficult was the way that God wanted us to go, because that was where we were going to see the glory of His love. That was where we were going to see the glory of His provision for our lives. So the little eagle, standing at the edge, looking down 10,000 feet. Seriously? Seriously, out there. And so the eaglet goes. Now, you would like to think that this thing is going to hit the air and just take right off. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes they're ready, sometimes they're not. So they'll see the little eaglet coming down, and it's flapping its wings, and it's turning and twisting this way. It's kind of like, what was the little bird in Peanuts? Rerun? What was that the little bird's name? Snoopy's friend? Woodstock, that's it. Rerun. I don't know where that's from. Woodstock, little bird. The bird is always flying like upside down and all over the place. Sometimes that's what the little eagle looks like when it goes out of the nest. But here's the thing we have to always remember. The mother eagle doesn't abandon the little one. The mother eagle will be flying right down with that little one watching, and there have been multiple reports that have been observed that as that eagle is getting closer and closer to the ground, there comes a point where the mother eagle will actually come underneath, catch the eaglet on its back or on its wing, and soar back up into the air with it. Won't let it crash. Won't let it die when it hits the ground. Can we understand and know that the times that God asks us to jump out of a nest, the times that God asks us to jump out of our comfort place, He doesn't leave us. He goes with us. And that picture in my mind of that eagle just soaring down, even just encouraging as eagles can, I don't know if eagles can do that or not, but as parents, we would encourage our children. I guess the closest we would have is if you think about your little one learning to ride a bike. If you can remember that time, some of you back that far, and you get your little one, you're pushing them along on the bike, and are you holding on? Yeah, I'm holding on. Go ahead. And finally, there comes that time when you let go. And they're wiggling around. But there never's a place where you let them crash and hurt themselves. Yeah, they might fall over a little bit, but kids are tough. But I'm going, come on, you can do this. And the look of joy on a child's face the first time that they do that, that's going to be so cool. The look of excitement of being able to do that. is the same excitement that our Father has for us. When we're stepping out of that nest, when we're flying in a place that we're not comfortable with, because He loves us. He wants to see us grow, wants to see us mature. For us, the wings that catch us are first and foremost God's love for us, but it's also our faith. That's why we talk so much about faith in here, having faith to believe what it is that God said that He's going to do, faith to believe that God will be true to His word. You know, if the eaglet doesn't fly that first time, the mother does not catch it and set it on the ground and go, "Well, Junior, good effort, but you're going to be a walker. Sorry, you're going to have whatever's down here on the ground. Good luck with that. Hope you get something to chew on." No. Mom takes the eagle back up to the nest, sets him back in there, boots him out again. Down he goes until he learns how. God's patience with us is inexhaustible. Inexhaustible. There never comes a time where God gives up on us. There never comes a time where we've blown it completely. God is always right there, wanting us to succeed, wanting us to grow, wanting us to mature. And so again and again, the mother eagle will demonstrate what needs to happen. Again and again, she'll push the little one out of the nest, and then at some point, it's going to catch the air. It'll soar. It'll probably blow up on the landing when it hits the ground. They have to learn how to do that too. But they know how to fly. God will allow us to go round and round the mountain that we have to go around as many times as we need to. Children of Israel were only weeks away from the land of Canaan. Only weeks. Took them 40 years to get there because they had to walk around that mountain over and over and over until they learned what it was that they needed to know. God never gives up on us. Never gives up. But for us as Christians, can we desire to want to be all that God's called us to be, to grow, to become mature? Now, your place of growth and your place of maturity is like no one else's. Don't get your eyes set on someone else. You are where you are. That's all. Don't look at Dave. Don't look at Faith. Don't look at me. We're not your models of where you want to be. God is going to take each of you to the place that you should be in the time that it's going to take you to get there. Your responsibility is just to simply say, "God, I don't want to lose sight of you, and I don't want to lose hold of you." That's where we need to be. Can I encourage you this week, when you come into that shell, whatever that is, persevere. Keep pressing through. Keep breaking through. God's teaching you. He's showing you things about yourself. He's wanting you to increase your faith. And in the times that you've got to learn to stand, because those aren't always easy. I got to think Moses wasn't thrilled standing there with those sheep going, "Geez, I was in a palace 3 weeks ago. Now I'm out here kicking stuff off my sandals every couple of minutes. Dirty sheep." Persevere. Press through. Know that God has a plan for each and every one of us. And as we grow, He's going to give us new things to do. He's going to give us new challenges. New ways to be able to continue to increase and grow. And as we do that together, God's going to be able to work in and through us to glorify Him. Amen? Well, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for each and every person here that as we learn to grow and as we learn, God, to come into a place of more maturity, Father, I pray that we will never be looking around us, never be listening to the enemy telling us either that we've arrived, which means we don't have to do anymore. That's not true. Or God, even worse than that, telling us what lousy Christians we are because of what we do and the things we get into. Father, all of those things, can we just put those out of our mind and focus on you? Because you tell us that you love us. You tell us, Father, that you'll never leave us. You tell us that we are your children, that we are joint heirs with your Son, that when we call you Lord and Savior, that you are preparing a place for us and that someday you're going to come and take us to be with you. Until that time, Father, may it be our heart's desire to grow and to be everything that you have called us to be. Thank you, Lord. I pray blessing and protection over each and every person here. And I pray, God, that as we go through the course of this week, that you will help us to stand in the times of difficulty. And, Father, that we will continue to learn and to grow to be all that you've called us to be. It's in your precious Son's name that we pray these things. Amen.